morning. Throughout the season of Lent, we have been focusing on the personal faith exploration as we have been rediscovering who we are. Having considered themes of trust, love, patience, and joy in the first 4 weeks, we move to the paradox found in death on this fifth Sunday in Lent. This morning's story is the final narrative in John's Gospel prior to the events of Holy Week. It follows Jesus' miraculous restoration to life of Lazarus. Reading from John chapter 11, verses 55 to chapter 12, verses 11. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. They were looking for Jesus and were asking one another as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? Surely he will not come to the festival, will he?" Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where Jesus was should let them know, so that they might arrest him. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. There they gave him dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this is not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She brought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, who he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Speak to God.
Friends, would you pray with me? O Holy One, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, be ever and always acceptable unto you. For you are our rock and our Redeemer, our Alpha and our Omega, our beginning and our end, source of our love, and a wellspring of our joys. Amen. I feel like Easter has come a little bit early for me this year. I feel a real sense of joy kind of in my heart. It seems to me as your minister that this season of Lent has been an especially deep time of Lenten exploration. Once again this year, people have gone deep in their own faith explorations as we explore our sense of connection with the holy. People have been stripping away all the stuff, all the things that might separate us from our deep relationship with God, and have been focusing on our spiritual beings. Some examples, for example, people have been using various spiritual practices, sometimes new for them, or even going deeper in their exploration of them, prayer and meditation. Practices of compassion or gratitude or acts of service. Others have been giving things up so they created space otherwise to fully explore God's presence in their lives and in their heart. Like Jesus walking in the desert for those 40 days, we too have been walking our 40 days of Lent, further deepening our awareness of God's grace and God's transformative power in our lives. And now we're coming near the end. Now we're coming and preparing ourselves to go with Jesus to Jerusalem. Now we're coming and preparing to re-enter life as it was before. For Jesus, it had been 40 days, a long journey, a long teaching, 3 years of ministry, and he prepares now to go to the holy center, the spiritual epicenter of people's lives, Jerusalem. And he will go there and he will see the Roman power represented. Imperial muscle flexing, and the pilgrims and Jesus and all who would arrive would be reminded of their insignificance. For us, and we prepare to go back into the world after Lent, we re-enter a world that will rally for our allegiance as well. A world that will seduce us back away from following the deep way of Jesus' light. And I must confess to you, I must confess that I'm not sure if I'm ready to leave this general kind of Lenten solitude feeling that we have in these 40 days. I'm not sure if I'm ready to leave this kind of time of prayer, of a simpler time, this time that is intentionally spent more intentionally than any other season with God. I wonder if I'm ready. I wonder if I'm prepared to enter Jerusalem with Jesus and start Holy Week next week. I wonder if I'm ready to walk through all the days as we did last year, each Sunday, day by day, week by week. I wonder if I'm ready next week to hold the palms in my hand and wave Hosanna. I'm ready. I wonder if I'm ready to go into the upper room and have Jesus wash my feet and serve me the bread and the wine. I wonder if I'm going to be ready to gather at the foot of the cross and witness a crucifixion and have a faith in my heart to know that God and only God could make that still good. I wonder if I'm ready to go to the vigil on the Saturday and watch over the tomb. And I wonder if I'm ready, to be renewed by the sunrise of an Easter morning yet this year again. You can perhaps see the sources of my uncertainty as well. Perhaps you might share some of them too. Oh, what a complex faith life we walk. I think the theme in this morning's text really helps us walk into a deeper sense of a feeling prepared if we really wrestle with the story of Mary and Judas. Even more so than the previous four themes last in the previous weeks, a vulnerable trust, a vulnerable love, a vulnerable patience, and last week with Reverend Gabrielle, a vulnerable joy. This morning's text invites us into a theme of embracing the spiritual truth found in death. The text invites us to embrace the paradox that is found in death, that we must die before we actually die. The text invites us into the paradox found in death. Now, in the text, there are several paradoxes, I think, that we can, in fact, explore that kind of leads me to that theme of dying before we die, and I'd like to kind of unpack them and see where we might go. The first one is that physical journey that all of the pilgrims and Jesus are taking to the holy city of Jerusalem. Now, we know, on the one hand, for generation upon generation since Egypt, that has been a purification practice. It's been a celebration ever since the liberation story of Egypt, ever since God passed over the Hebrew households and Pharaoh said, get out of here, get rid of those Hebrews, they're causing trouble, liberated them, and Moses led them into the wilderness for those 40 years towards the promised land. That Passover liberation festival was about celebrating God's liberation for all the people. And they had celebrated it year after year through the generations. So once again, they were going to celebrate freedom that they knew through God's grace, through God's power. But something even further was happening. This was now, in John's gospel account at least, this was the third year of Jesus' ministry. 3 years of ministry, and he had built quite the following. People wanted to see who this Jesus was. There's a lot of anticipation in the air, and they were traveling there. Did you hear the text? It said, he won't come, will he? People were wondering, will they get to see this Jesus they'd heard about? See him again? Will they get to hear him? Will they get to maybe touch his cloak? Well, it wasn't going to be that simple. It wasn't going to be just a simple liberation festival of Passover, perhaps seeing Jesus as well. Well, Jesus had caused quite the stir. The chief priests and the Pharisees were decided that they are ready to squash this Jesus once and for all. The word had been put out by them that Jesus was to be arrested on sight as soon as he was seen there. The final straw was that Jesus had raised Lazarus, raised him from death into new life, and that was just too much for them to handle. Paradox occurs. We think about the reasons behind all the people going to Jerusalem and the reason behind Jesus' journey. Jesus' trip was about to bring a new kind of liberation, a new kind of life that the people had not yet begun to even comprehend. People were defining their view and their scope of life that would conclude when death was pronounced. Jesus was about to show a life that continued even beyond the last heartbeat and the last breath. Jesus would endure the ugliest depths of humanity, the cruel darkness of our being, and would demonstrate the transformative nature of God. Jesus would demonstrate liberation that lies even beyond the earthly powers of death, giving us a new form of life. Paradox arrives when we see the people going there to experience and celebrate life and liberation, and Jesus goes there to celebrate death as being a part of God's new life. A liberation that will bring hope, that will bring peace, that will bring a new way of living. This becomes even further developed when we look at the two characters that are in the story, supporting the story with Jesus. Mary and Judas, what a combination. It is far too simple for us to vilify Judas and beatify Mary, although we like to do this regularly, don't we? Mary is often remembered as the faithful, perfect disciple. She is the one who gets it, who selflessly knows what to do, who knows what is ahead. She is there washing Jesus' feet. She is anointing him for the death that lies ahead, and she is demonstrating the extravagant grace and love of God. It's demonstrating a Jewish ritual that is performed on a dead body normally. Mary is preparing Jesus for the death that will come. She sees it coming. Mary is a prophet and a priest and a servant all rolled into one. Judas, on the other hand, is often thought of as the unfaithful disciple. His concern, as it records in the text, is not for the poor. He's concerned about the money, yes, he is, but he's concerned about how the money is being spent on this ointment, how it will be taken out of the common purse that he would use to steal from. He's concerned about himself. Judas bad. Mary good? Well, not so fast, because as we hear in the text, they're both disciples of Jesus, aren't they? When considered together, the Judas-Mary paradox really gives us an umbrella over which all of Jesus' disciples are contained. The range of their characters between Judas and Mary reminds us about who Jesus' disciples are, and indeed that they are not perfect. It's a range reassuring us of who those disciples can be. That Jesus' way of grace includes both Judas and Mary and all in between. Karl Barth, one of the well-known theologians from the last century, wrote a 500-page book on the doctrine of election, essentially, who is under God's favor. Barth devotes 10% of this book to the person of Judas, saying how significant and important Judas is for all of those who are not perfect. I know that certainly includes me. Judas's presence is important for all of us who are imperfect disciples. Barth writes, Judas is an elect and called apostle of Jesus Christ. I think Judas and Mary represent the range of those who disciples who can follow Jesus. Mary knew of Jesus' death that was to come. She prophetically cared for him and prepared him for the future. She was as close to perfect as we can imagine. Judas was the opposite end, stealing from the common purse, in fact, feeling so guilty at the end of his life that he commits suicide. There were other imperfect disciples, let's not forget. What about Peter? Denies Jesus not once or twice, but three times. And I suspect that we all have regrets in our own hearts about the ways we have denied our faith, that we have denied Jesus in the ways we live our lives. Paradox is found in these two disciples that I think, when we consider them together, it gives us a deep sense of hope. Hope for our lives, our love, the grace that God includes us in the future of creation. And dying before we die allows us to know that deep sense of forgiveness for God, from God now. It allows our old ways to die now and allows our new ways to be born tomorrow. It allows parts of the Judas in us to die today and parts of the Mary in us to be born to new life tomorrow. Text draws us into a deeper sense of faith, I think. Calls us to die before we die, to put aside those old ways of death and allow the resurrection of new to begin now. What is it about the extravagant faith of God, the extravagant followers of Jesus, that allows them the faith to die before they die, that allowed Mary to do that, that might allow us to do that as well? What is it about the extravagance of the way we live our lives that has the faith that indeed tomorrow will be there? What is it about an anthem? A choir offers a beautiful anthem. Notes bounce across the ceiling and into our ears, and over 3 minutes our hearts are touched, and then it ends. But does it die? Or does it continue to sing on in the way we live our lives? What is it about a teacher's lesson who offers a lesson to her class and then the bell rings and those excited kids run off into the hallways? Was the lesson over, or was that lesson continuing to live into those young men and women that continuing to grow? What is it about grace that is set around the table? Set around the table of a family, as they share words of gratitude to God for the day, for the food, and the amen is pronounced and the food is consumed. Did that grace ever end, or does the living of grace continue in the way our lives go on? What is it about flowers that are sliced off from the stem, placed at a loved one's grave, in memory of their life, a life that still continues today? Something about a faith that allows us to live ways of dying before we die, that is reflective of the kind of extravagant grace shown by Mary, that is reflective of the kind of extravagant grace that we see in Jesus Christ. It's that sense of inner knowing that prompts the lowly, fluffy caterpillar to go inside her little cocoon and spin a web, and later to emerge and die, emerge as an iridescent wing-filled butterfly. So as we prepare next week to go, to travel, to journey to Jerusalem and Holy Week that follows, May we have the fortitude, the faith, the theology, the belief that allows us to put those old ways aside, die before we die, and to live again. Amen.